first, I want to ask you just a little bit about what it means to be here in Sitka and a place where you have a family, you know, a family connection.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, being here means everything to me at the moment. You know, this has been so long time coming, this trip, that it's both emotional and it's a very meaningful thing for me. And I was thinking that if only I could wear my great-grandfather's boots for a day and try to understand how life has been here before. So this it's a very important day for me.
Did you have your great-grandfather's story, is that something that you learned as an adult, or is this something you grew up knowing about?
No, when I was a child, I didn't know too much. My cousin, who is here with me, he has been following this much more closely than I have. But I was already adult when I started to, you know, ask questions where people came from. But I think that there has been a kind of a cut in the link between my grandfather's father and my own parents, that they didn't really, that time, maybe in the 1960s and 70s, that was another issue to really talk about. But now, when you get older, you start to ask these questions, that where you're coming from. And I when I learn about this guy who has been traveling 170 years ago around the world, I immediately wanted to know more, me myself being one of those crazy people as well, doing the same right now.
A little faster, though, than he traveled.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, every time when I have a feeling that I want to complain about the kind of a heavy-duty traveling that I do a lot nowadays, I always remember these guys that, you know, don't complain. That time journey from Helsinki to Sitka took eight months, and now I can fly from Helsinki to Sitka in 24 hours, but that's, you know, the difference is huge.
One more question about that. What surprised you, and did anything surprise you about Sitka?
You know, I'm a kind of a person who is I'm more interested in people than buildings or mountains, although the nature is massive here. But you know, it's been amazing to see the hospitality of Sitkans here. And before I came here, I've been traveling around the United States practically everywhere, and whenever I mention Sitka, people are always saying, "Oh, you know, this is something nice." So I expected a lot of kind of a warm people and friendliness, but this has been overwhelming. But of course, the nature is, you know, these huge mountains and cold, freezing sea around. You can never get these things from just looking at the paintings or pictures. Yeah.
You're talking tomorrow on education. What specifically are you focusing on in your talk tomorrow?
Well, I have a book that is published by the U.S. publisher in New York. It's titled Finnish Lessons, What Can the World Learn from Educational Change in Finland? And I wrote this book when Finland went to the, people say that Finland was has been the number one nation in education for a long time. And my talk tomorrow will be a little bit about the things that we have been doing in our public school system in Finland during the last 40 years, and some of the things that other countries, and in this case the United States, could take a look at Finland. What I try to do is to help people understand that although Finland is a small nation, we are 6 million people, and the United States is 300 plus million citizens, that we can still learn from one another. And we can still ask these questions of why do you do things so differently in Finland than you do here? And those are the things I try to communicate tomorrow. I also try to bring some hope. I see that there are many people here in Sitka and in the United States who are beginning to, you know, lose their hope with the education reforms coming one after another. And in many cases, people say that things are only getting worse. So I try to help people to understand that there is another way to reform your school system.
I looked at your website before I came, and two things stuck out at me. One was you mentioned that the United States and Finland not only have different educational systems, but perhaps even different mindsets about what an education means.
Sure. Yeah, I think we think very differently about education. I think in Finland we view children's education much more in a kind of a broader way. We speak about whole child approach, which means that we give the equal importance to arts and music and physical education than we give to math and science and reading. And Here in America, I often see that the, you know, I've seen schools here where they don't teach these things anymore, that you don't have, kids don't have music, kids don't have physical education, because the, all the time is spent on, you know, training people to do math, science, and reading. So I think in this way we are very different. I think we're also very different in terms of, you know, allowing children to play, you know, do informal things that they like to do. We start schooling at the age of 7, and the first 2 or 3 years in our school system is very much built on play and an informal kind of a friendly type of thing, whereas in the United States I see that the kids are beginning to do earlier and earlier these academic things that are then tested and measured, and we are not doing those things at all. So there are many differences between our two school systems.
You mentioned that you know, there are things that the United States can learn from Finland on education, and vice versa. Can you give me one of each? What's something we can learn? What's something you can learn?
Well, first of all, I must say that Finland has been building its school system based on American ideas. You know, starting from the great philosopher educator Chen Dewey 100 years ago, we have implemented this Dewey idea and philosophy into our entire school system. You know, it's exactly this balanced, child-friendly ethos of school system. That's American ideas. That's not the Finnish way of thinking about these things. But we have many things like teaching methods in our schools. Cooperative learning is a good example of an American innovation that Finnish schools are using in a large scale. I think what American schools could learn from Finland is that you don't necessarily need to have the standardized testing system that you have now. Everybody here knows that you are testing children, all the children now, all the time, and I think it's simply too often, it's too expensive, and it's having too many negative consequences of both children and their teachers in schools. And I think Finland is showing that you can have more intelligent way of testing, assessing students, and more intelligent way of having the accountability in the school system that you have currently. But there are many other lessons there as well. And I want to emphasize this, that the learning has to go both ways, that we need to continue learning from America, and I think America has to learn also from other countries, not only from Finland, but all those who have something to share.
Last question, very quick. Who should come to your talk tomorrow? Who's it pitched at? Who's it aimed at?
Well, anybody who is interested in education, or anybody who is interested in internal education, anybody who is interested in being surprised and confused tomorrow, welcome, because what I'm going to say is something that people normally don't know and don't expect. But particularly teachers, those who are working in your public schools and the classrooms, who feel that they need to hear about alternative ways, if they think that, you know, these things are not really working, or they would like to have something else. I'm sure that tomorrow we will have something, some ideas that will be helpful for people. And tomorrow will be a conversation also. I want to learn from teachers and parents and educators here as well.
Excellent. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Thanks.